I just love this worship team. I love the musicians. Boy, they're such talented musicians. I just get a lot of inspiration out of watching this drummer. Now, he may not have anybody bragging on him, but I'm bragging on him this morning. He's a drummer. He's a drummer. Yeah, and the pastor's brother on the guitar, he does a sharp job too. All of these musicians do so good, and singers, and there's such a unity. Such a unity. I just had to talk about it a little bit this morning. There's such a unity among you. That's the way God has designed it. That you come together and you worship with love one for another. And you don't criticize one another. You love one another. You give away hugs. And Kay and I run on hugs, so be sure and give us an extra hug while we're here. Amen. We do. We do. But we've been Christians. I've been preaching since 1954. I think I preached my first message in 1954. Now, that was a long time before many of you discovered America. But I am up in years. If I can make it about 3 more weeks to July the 22nd, I will be chalking up my 88th birthday. And actually, I'm truly blessed, and I'm amazing. I've never heard a minister my age still having the health and the opportunity to continue in ministry. But we have a full schedule ahead of us. I'm not sure I'd have to go through my book and see. I think we have 8 or 10 to get before us just recently. And we just came from Idaho, where we had 5 churches in Idaho, 5 weeks over there. And so the Lord is keeping us busy. We're doing pretty good for old folks. Amen. So if you got older, you don't have to quit. If you can go, keep it going. Amen. Keep it going. Amen. And we love you. We've just fallen in love with you. Praise the Lord. And Pastor keeps inviting us back, so we keep coming back. And we keep saying, invite us back next year or sooner. Amen. So, I really love this pastor and his family, Keith, Hasuk, and Judy, this family. And Judy, if anyone thinks that's an easy job that she has, volunteer to do it for a week and you'll feel different about it. Amen. She does a good job of keeping it. Just give her a good round of applause. Amen. She never has preached a message, probably, but she's made it possible for others to. Amen. So the gift of helps is one of the gifts. Did you know it? It is. It's a God-given gift, the gifts of help. Praise the Lord. So I always want to say a whole lot when I get up because it helps me to get over my nervousness, for one thing. Said, you know, when I was a young minister, I asked an older minister, how long does it take you to get over the butterflies? He said, I don't know. You have to ask someone who's been at it longer than I had, and he had been at it a long time. Amen. So it's a serious business, and we do not take it for granted. And I'm grateful to be called of the Lord. Why he called me was because I'm so talented. Thank you for every blessing, and God bless you. As we come here, you know, we go to some churches that really need a lift. That is our ministry. Our ministry is motivational. Our messages are to the church body, to God's people. And if the Lord can get us as his people motivated, then we'll do a lot of evangelism. Amen. And that's God's plan. So we pray that you would hear the motivational expressions in the messages today, and that you will respond to them with a new time of prayer, a new commitment for your life, because the Lord has sent us here to help you to make a new commitment to continue evangelism. You're the only ones that he has in this town to grow this church. Let that one sink in. You're the only ones he has in this town to grow this church. He don't have anybody else. So he's counting on you. Amen. He just wants you to work with him. Love people. Just as the expression is, love them to pieces. Amen. And that's what it is. You know, it's about love and it's about building relationships. You know, the real success of ministry is not fully tabulated in sermons and songs, but that is part of the expressions. It's tabulated in building relationships. The Lord wants us to communicate with people and tell them what we've done. You know, the Apostle Paul was a great preacher, but his last opportunity to preach a great message was to the king and queen. He didn't preach a message to them. He gave them his testimony and told them about Jesus Christ. Amen. People need to hear your testimony. How did you get what you got? Where did you go to church? Invite them to your church. When my wife Lucille and I determined I was going to get my family in church because a crisis came to us. I won't talk about that crisis now. But then I took my family to church and we got saved. Where did we go to church? We went to a church where we'd been invited. That's important. Hold on to that. Invite them to your church. Most of America knows they need to be in church, but they're not sure where to go. Give them an idea. Invite them to come to church with you. You are the ones that God has designed to grow this church. And he said, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come that my house might be full. Amen. Amen. He's concerned in his house being full. Well, what's he do with full houses? He blesses the people. And then the people are full. Amen. That's what it's all about. God has a plan and you're part of it. And he loves you. And he appreciates you. Okay, so much for that. I pretty well got over my nervousness now. Yeah, I do have a message to share with you this morning. And my scripture is found in 1 Kings chapter 17. And the message the Lord has given me, I've entitled, Sitting by the Brook. Sitting by the Brook. 1 Kings chapter 17. And I'm going to read 9 verses of scripture beginning at verse number 1. And I'll wait till I hear the page has quit flipping, then I'll know that you found the page. 1 Kings 17, verses 1 through 9. Now, Elijah is our main person in the lesson today. When this was written, it was relevant. God spoke it. But God's message, often what the Lord has said, is relevant to any age, to any time, to any person. Now, there are some things he made promises to individual. Like he said to Abraham, I'll make you the father of many nations. You can't claim that promise. But most of what God has said in his word, you can claim because it is intended to be universal for all times, for all people, at all places. So the message today is not for 3,000 years ago. The message today is for us that is here. God is still speaking relevantly to us through his word today, and listen to it. I want to encourage you to identify with Elijah. He was just a man. And you are a man. You are a woman. You are God's chosen today. And he wants to know that today he's saying the same thing to you that he said to Elijah. Put yourself in his shoes. Listen to the message and let God speak to you. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Father, as we look to you, as we accept and open our hearts and our minds to your written word, which is motivated by your spiritual word, for the letter killeth, but the spirit maketh alive. You're speaking to us, Lord, the words of life today. Let our hearts be open that we might receive it as guidance for living. Lord, grant it to be so that we may be anointed with your powerful flow of the Holy Spirit upon your word, that it might quicken our lives and bring to us light. That it might anoint this thy servant, Lord, that I might speak under the powerful anointing of the Holy Ghost. That it might pour out your anointing upon your people today. And each person in this service today may leave here knowing that the anointing of the Lord has been poured upon them. And they leave here with an excitement and a passion in their lives that has come from thy anointing, because the yoke is broken because of the anointing. And the anointing makes the difference. We ask it in Jesus' name, and we praise you for it. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Elijah was God's man. And so are you that are men. And God's woman. You are God's women. Yeah, you know, there was a time, even in the scripture that's recorded, they only counted the men. When those were saved following the upper room experience, when Peter preached the next day, they counted 5,000 men that were saved. But when I go to this scripture and I talk about it, I say 5,000 men, 5,000 women, 5,000 kids. That's 15,000. Amen. They just didn't count them, but I still count them because the Lord counts them. Amen. Ladies, the Lord counts you just the same as He counts the men. I was saved under a woman pastor. Can women preach? She could. I tell you, she preached good stuff. It got to me and it saved me. And, you know, I had some negative thoughts about women preachers, but I got over it pretty quick. Amen. And I learned that God has chosen men. God has chosen women. And when He counts men, women, and children. Hey, Pastor, I'm glad that you have a church that has men, women, and children. That's God's church. Amen. It has senior adults. You haven't thrown them away either. Amen. It has babies. Even though they're in nursery, they're still counted. Amen. God counts His people. Babies, children, youth, families, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and folks that's even my age. Amen. He still got us in His church. Elijah was God's man, and you are God's man. I want to encourage you to put yourself in His shoes this morning. Walk in Elijah's shoes and listen to the Word of God as the Lord is speaking to your heart. God knew Elijah, and He knows you. In fact, He knows your name. He sent His disciples out, and they came back rejoicing that the devils were subject unto them. And Jesus said, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's the most important thing. And as Kay and I pray together each morning, the first thing that we do is thank the Lord for our salvation that cost Him everything. And it brought to us everything in life and in spirituality. Praise His wonderful name. God knew him and God knows you. He's got you on His record. He's got you on His team. He's got you in His family. He's got you in His church. He knows all about you. God chose Elijah and God chose you. Well, I'm not a preacher. God didn't choose me. Oh, yes, He did. And He said in His Word, and He didn't say this is just for preachers, but He said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should retain. And whatsoever you would ask the Father in my name, He would give it to you. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 He said that for all of us. God chose you just like He chose Elijah. And God had a plan for him, and God has a plan for you. The brook was God's brook. That's where God sent Elijah. And Elijah was there for a while because the drought had to come to its fullness before Elijah could go on and do something. And there he was, sitting by the brook where God sent him, just going nowhere and doing nothing. But each day he was reminded again, this is something different. I never heard of the birds feeding a man, especially crows. A raven is a big old crow. Amen. They'll take everything they can get from the other birds and from anybody else. And I've watched the crows out on the seashore. A seagull will find a mussel or a oyster, and they'll take it up and they'll drop it onto the rock so it'll break so that they can get it out of there, and the crows will try to get to it before the seagulls can. But I'll tell you, the seagulls are pretty smart. The seagull says, go get your own food. This is mine. Amen. But anyway, God has a plan for Elijah. And we're going to look at it today. And God has a plan for you. The brook was God's brook. The water was life-sustaining. Where did the water come from? It comes from up above. Just like the spiritual water, it comes from up above. Amen. If you lost a little blessing, get under the spout where the glory comes out and let it fall on you again. Amen. How do I get there? You get someplace by yourself and you begin to talk to God. Amen. And you get a hold of him and he gets a hold of you. You know, oftentimes as I come to pray, I like to pray at least 30 minutes when I pray, but usually it takes me at least 30 minutes to get started. Amen. But by the time you get through the start, you get it started and you get your motor running, then you can pray. And when the hour is ended, you still want to pray some more. Praise the Lord. If somebody's not calling you to do something else, amen. But stay there until you get prayed through. Amen. And you will have a great day. So God had a plan for him, and God has a plan for you. The brook was God's brook, and the water was life-sustaining. We must know that we are where God has placed us for his work. You know, we have a tendency to look for that which entertains us, which blesses us, which is beneficial to us. Oh, well, this church over here, they have a gymnasium. Now, we could go there and my kids would have a lot better opportunity to play. Do your kids need an opportunity to play or an opportunity to pray? I didn't mean that negatively, but I said that anyway because I think that concerning myself. I don't need a place to pray. I need I need a place to pray. Amen. That'll do me more benefit. But the Lord had a plan, and the brook was God's brook, and the water that he was drinking was life-sustaining. You know, the Lord sent him where he didn't have coffee, he didn't have tea, he didn't have Pepsi or Dr. Pepper, he didn't have Diet Pop. He didn't have energy drinks. He had the stuff that God made, which is the best place in the world to drink, and all the other drinks that got a whole lot of that in it, water. Amen. And God sent him down where he had water, and the birds fed him, brought him food twice a day. And that's as good as our jail systems do. They feed their inmates twice a day. But the birds don't bring it. Amen. You know, and as I was preparing for this message, I thought, which I've always thought, I wondered with them birds, did they bring that in their beak or did they bring that in their claws? I don't know, but it don't make any difference. God's word says they brought it. They brought it and they fed the prophet. Now, L.E. Painter, the first overseer that I had under the Church of God, way back when I first came in the 1950s, he had been the overseer of North and South Dakota for the Church of God, and he was the president of Northwest Bible College. And a man came to him and said, now, Painter, he said, do you really believe that that whale swallowed Jonah? He said, you know, a whale would choke to death trying to swallow anything as big as a tennis ball. L.E. Painter said, if the Bible said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe that. So that showed where he stood. I believe what the God said. What God said, this is not logical. It don't fit the pattern logic. There never has been a crow, as far as we know, except the ones that God talked about, that gave anything else to anybody else. Amen. But God said in His Word. Now, that don't fit the pattern of logic. God is not governed by logic. Logic governs man. And it's detected by the five senses. Faith is not touched by the five senses. Don't take any of them to determine faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence not seen. It is real. It is real. But it seems like it's nothing. Amen. But we're not preaching on faith today. We have a different message. Now, the brook was God's brook. The water was life-sustaining. We must know that we are where God has sent us. You must know that you're where God wants you. And you must not be a grasshopper jumping from one spot to another. Amen. Amen. Get in the church that you feel God is in and God is blessing you. Well, it's not perfect there. Well, come on, one more won't hurt our attendance. Amen. Amen. Yes, are you perfect? Neither am I. See, I fooled you there. Amen. Amen. If any of you think I'm perfect, you're wrong again. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it does not fit the pattern of logic to think that these birds would feed that man, that he would be there for several months until the drought was fulfilled that God had designed and told his prophet to tell the king that there's going to be a drought. There ain't going to be no rain. There ain't going to be no dew. There ain't going to be no water. You're going to be in trouble. Even the king and his people were out trying to find water to water their animals with, because of the difficulty of the drought. And the ravens were God's agents. No one had ever known for God to have agents such as this. But I want you to understand, and the Lord wants you to understand, there's going to be others that work with you. You're in a corporate setting. God has a corporate business. He put you into His corporate family to be a part of it. And He gave you gifts so that you could be a little part of it. Not all of it. Nobody is the whole thing. Amen. But everybody is something. I like that. Amen. You know, if everybody wasn't something, I'm sure that the Lord had passed me up. If He was looking for talent, He would have passed me up a long time ago. Amen. Yeah, He would have passed me up a long time ago. You know, when it comes to music talent, I could get off key with a tambourine. Amen. When it comes to artistic talent, my stick man looks crippled. God wasn't looking for talent when He found me. He was looking for somebody that needed help, and He found me. I wasn't looking for Him. You know, when I was a young Christian, there was a lot of Christians say, when I found the Lord, they was giving their testimony. That's all right. I didn't have no problem with that. But I soon learned I didn't find the Lord. He found me. I wasn't looking for Him. He was looking for me. He wasn't lost. I was lost. Amen. Praise God, but I'm not lost anymore. He found me. He found me. He took care of my problems. He took care of my needs. He transformed my life. He put me into His corporate body. I was their baby. They all claimed me. How about that? Yeah. I was a zero, and He came onto my team, or brought me onto His team, and I became a 10. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, salvation. Amen. Goodness, gentleness. Well, the rest of them, and salvation makes 10. Amen. Praise God. When He found you, you might have been a zero. You might have felt that you was zero, but He made you a 10 real quick. Put you into His corporate body, and as others was added to you and you were added to others, the number increased. But that's not the message I'm trying to preach today. I got a different message. This was unusual. It was unusual. Who ever had heard of the crows feeding the man and him being hid in plain sight? Hello? Yeah, only the crows knew where he was. It was a different experience. It was undesirable circumstances. Elijah might have thought, boy, this is contrary to what I'm used to. Yes, but God is not governed by those things. He is God. Then, sitting by the brook requires patience. Anybody here got any extra patience? If you have, I'd like to, for you to give me some of it. Because I'm usually short on patience. But I find in the scripture where it says, in patience possess you your soul. Well, what do you mean, Lord? He means you've got to be patient in order to gain patience. Okay, I understand that. Okay, sitting by the brook requires patience. Sitting by the brook was a trial of continuing faith. God wants your faith to continue. You see, Elijah was there many months, going nowhere, doing nothing, being fed by the birds. But daily he reminded that God was in it because God told the birds to bring him some more food. Yeah. And God kept him hid from the enemy, from the general society. They wanted to find him and kill him, and they thought that would solve the problem. It's like those religious leaders that found a woman in the act of adultery, and they brought him to Jesus and said, the Bible says for us to stone her. Let's stone her, and that'll take care of all of this problem. Jesus stood down and wrote in the sand. He wrote, "Where's the guy?" Now, I... Now, I don't know what he wrote, you know. But whatever he wrote convicted those accusers, and Jesus took care of that. But that's another message, too. The brook was God's hiding place where he hid his man in plain sight, and nobody could find him except the crows, and they could only find him because they had direction from the Lord, and the Lord knew where he was hidden. So sitting by the brook required patience. Sitting by the brook was a trial of continuing faith. God wants you to find where he wants you, and I believe you found it. You are here. God has brought you here. There's other churches. There's bigger churches. There's those that's got gymnasiums and all kinds of stuff to entertain you and to do all kinds of things for your kids. But God didn't call you to be entertained. He called you to work. He chose you to be his work team. And he will place you where he needs you. And he has given you the gifts that are needed. You can go to big churches that will never recognize you. But I see here where the body of the people is recognized. I see people individually giving messages from God. And it's accepted. I see each person in the music and the worship team individually doing their thing. Amen. And it's all working together. Praise the Lord. You know, I never was one to get people off singing, but as a young Christian, I was loud in everything, so I had to learn to tone down a little bit. Because in my singing, I could get the whole choir off. Do you sing in the choir? Yeah, I sing in the choir. But no one ever asked me to lead it. No. They had already discovered that I didn't have that gift. Amen. I didn't have that gift. But I tell you what, from the time that my gift was recognized when I was just a young Christian, and my pastor let me preach, and I preached my first message, and I preached a long time, 7 minutes. But I preached like a house of fire under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and it was evident that God had chosen me, God had called me, God had anointed me, and I didn't know a whole lot yet, but I preached longer than 7 minutes now. Amen. And of course, if my wife says, you know, she helps me. No, she never has done that. She's good. But she's wonderful. She's my sweetheart. Well, you better. Amen. I'm embarrassing her. Amen. So I'll be in trouble, so I better get off of that subject. All right. Sitting by the brook was a testing of faithfulness. God will test your faithfulness. But you know what his final words is going to be to you? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. That will be his final view. He's not going to determine how much talent you had, how much work you've done, or all of this. He's going to determine how faithful you were. Sitting by the brook takes faithfulness. You know, if you feel like you've been sitting by the brook, going nowhere, doing nothing, if God has you where he wants you, let that be the major thing. And stay there, you know. You know, as a young Christian, there were some things happened in my church that I was disturbed about, and I was ready to leave the church. But the Lord didn't let me do that. I could have said, well, Lord, it ain't perfect. He could have said to me, you're not either. He should have, at least. Amen. So, anyway, but listen, if you found where the Lord wants you, hang in there. Hang in there. Well, everybody there is not perfect. Yes, including you and me. Praise the Lord. It's getting too quiet. I better get on a different subject now. Amen. Amen. God knew who Elijah was, and he knows who you are. You know, I'm RJ. R stands for Robert. Whoopi Goldberg says all white guys are named Bob. She's a comedian. But there are a lot of Roberts. But you know, the Lord has never got me mixed up with any of the other Roberts. And even the Spanish ones, which are Roberto. Amen. The Lord's never got me mixed up. He knows which Robert I am. Amen. And he knows who you are. Amen. And he knows, he knew where Elijah was. And he knows where you are. Amen. He put Elijah where he was, and I'm assuming that he has placed you where you are. God wants you to continue to be a part of this church, to contribute, to be a worker, to be in favor of what's going on, and not to be critical of anybody else. If you are a critic, you like to criticize, I'll tell you how you can really do it and have a lot of fun at it. Get you a full-length mirror. That's the only person in the world you can criticize and get any changes in. Amen. You can criticize all the rest, but they'll do their thing. Amen. Don't criticize. Endorse. Be like the lady in this small town. She would not say anything bad about anybody. She always had something good to say about everybody. And there was a man in this little town that he was a drunk. He was always a problem to everybody and causing all kinds of problems. So he finally drank himself to death. At his funeral, another guy that knew her traits and knew this guy said to her, said, what good thing can you say about this drunk that called everybody problem all of his adult life? And she thought for a minute and said, he was a good whistler. Here's the point. That might have not been great, but it wasn't critical. The Lord don't want us to criticize people. He wants us to love people. Amen. Express our love. Show our love. Amen. And that's the thing that works. Love never fails. Everything else will fail, but love never fails. You might not be a singer. You might not be a preacher. But if you'll be a lover, God will use you. Amen. And He'll help you to love people. When I came into the little church that I was saved in, they loved me. I was their baby. They all claimed me. That's right. I didn't know anything. My sister-in-law that helped pray me through, her and her husband been Christians since they were teenagers, and she said, I thought you never was going to get established. Well, did I do anything wrong? No, I just stayed on her case and stayed on her back. And every question I had, I would call her and she would answer the question. So there was a time in later years, and it hasn't been too many years back, I was in a service in Wichita, Kansas, and this sister-in-law was there. And I called her up to the pulpit when I was in the pulpit. And I said, Louise, I said, you prayed for me and Lucille. And when we came to church, we came where you had invited us. And you helped to pray us through. And you responded to our questions and all of that. And I said, every soul that has been won under my ministry, God has marked up one more mark in your credit because you were involved. Amen. Amen. It's a corporate thing. I don't do this by myself. You don't do it by yourself. But thank God He lets all of us do a little part. And we have a part. And that baby is ours. We claim it. Amen. A new baby comes into a family. Ask Grandpa whose baby that is. Yeah, you know who you tell you. He says, mine. It's Grandpa. Ask Grandma. Ask the sister. Ask the brother. Ask the mom. Ask the dad. They'll all tell you, it's my baby. Yeah, do they claim that? Yes, they do. And they'll all help it. They'll all take care of it. You know, when my dad died when I was 3 years old, and there was four of us children, and she remarried when I was 6 years old, and they had another one. And he was the baby. And we treated him like the baby. He was our baby. Us four older kids, that was our baby brother. Hey, he was a half-brother, but we never considered him half. He was whole, and he growed up to be 275 pounds on the scale. Hey, amen. And he was no longer a baby, but he was still our baby brother. Amen. God put you in a family, a great, wonderful, loving, caring family, and you are their baby. That's a good thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, I got to get back to my notes here. I'll be preaching for 2 hours. God knew who Elijah was, and He knows who you are. God knew where Elijah was, and He knows where you are. And if you're where God wants you to be, He's really pleased with that. God knew what Elijah needed, and He knows what you need. You see, Jesus came to this earth and become a man so He could determine exactly how a man felt. And He found out, and He was tried in all points like we are, yet without sin. He was faced with every temptation that we face. Did He have a temptation that you have? He was a man. Does that answer any question? Amen. He was tried in all points like we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. That's the key. Amen. Okay. Now, God had a plan for His man and for each of you and I. He has a plan for each of you and I. God has great things, and great things have been happening at this church. And you've been gaining people. You've been winning people. You have a wonderful flow of the Spirit. Total liberty is given to the Holy Spirit now. We do not find that everywhere we go, but we try to emphasize that everywhere we go. And we are Pentecostal all the way. Jesus instituted the Pentecostal dispensation. He said all that there was to be said about it. And Paul gave us some ideas on what the gifts were and how they operate. But Jesus instituted the Holy Ghost dispensation. He's still the institutor and the organizer and the developer of the Pentecostal church. Don't be afraid to be Pentecostal. I know there are radicals. I know there are place singers. I know there are those that may try to get out of place and take control. But in my 46 years of pastoral experience, God never put me into a situation where He didn't give me the ability to handle it. And how do I know what's happening? Because one of the gifts are the discerning of spirits. Hello? Amen. Amen. How did I know what was going on? How did I know when I was to lay my hands on someone and rebuke the devil? The discerning of spirits, the gift of discerning of spirits. Amen. There, you know, some are afraid nowadays. Some pastors are afraid. They don't want anyone speaking in tongues in their church. They don't want anybody interpreting tongues. They want to restrict the Holy Spirit, but they want divine healing. They want miracles. They want all kinds of things. Hey, if he's offended, if he's restricted and he's offended, he's got all the gifts. And if he don't come, you got nothing. Is that good preaching? Amen. We are Pentecostal. We are Pentecostal. We are Pentecostal because Jesus instituted the Pentecostal church. That's not in my notes, but I can't seem to get away from it today. Amen. I encourage you to be Pentecostal. Amen. Have the real thing. Do the real stuff. Let God bless you. Okay. God's plan got to the place where the water ran out. That was God's plan. He sent the drought. And the water ran out, so God's plan was now ready. And God's man was still ready. If you feel like you've been sitting, Brother Brooke, doing nothing, going nowhere, God has a plan, and He's going to get ready. If you stay ready, and He's going to use you, and He's going to send you to the place where miracles are experienced. You know, I was praying recently, and I said, Lord, we believe in miracles, but we're not seeing any. We want to see some miracles. And the Lord began working miracles for us. And there was two great miracles. I won't take time to tell about that, but He showed us that He's still in the miracle working business. And unless the Lord directs me again to talk about it today, I will go on past that time. But God had not changed His plan for His man, and God has not changed His plan for you. He's going to continue to bless you. He's going to continue to help you grow this church. He's not going to do the work. You are His laborers. He has chosen you to go into the highways, hedges, streets, and lanes and compel Him to come that His house may be full. You know, people have said to me, well, I don't have to go to church to go to heaven. I don't believe that. Now, I don't believe just going to church will guarantee you entrance into heaven. I don't believe that. But I believe if you're not in church and getting what you need and in the flow of the Spirit and growing in the Lord, you might not make heaven. I don't believe you can purposely stay out of church and intentionally get into heaven. But anyway, just going to church is not the guarantee that gets you to heaven. But getting in the church and being involved and being part of His. And you know, the deathbed experiences, people wait until the end of their life to make a change to God. Well, you know, the criminal that hung by Jesus' side, one of them rejected Jesus, the other and accepted Him, and Jesus said to him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. But what did he miss? He missed all of the blessings of a life lived following the Lord. That's what he missed. And as two men were friends, and they were talking. One of them was a Christian, the other one wasn't. And the man that wasn't a Christian said to the Christian man, he said, I don't believe in this eternal life stuff. He said, I believe when you come to the end of the life, that's all there is. There's nothing beyond that. And his friend said, well, he said, you may be right. When I get to the end of my life, I may discover that there's nothing beyond that. That's all there is. But he said, during this life, walking with the Lord, he said, I've had success. I've had happiness. I've had provision. I've had guidance. I've had a great loving family. I've had a great loving church. And he named all the benefits that he had. He said, if there's nothing beyond this, I haven't lost anything. It's been worth it all. But he said, my friend, what if you're wrong? End of the story. Amen. Now, God's plan was now ready because the water had run out. God's man was still ready, and he wants you to be ready. God's got some things for you to happen. Something exciting may not happen every day, but hold on to what you got. Hold on to what you got. Tomorrow's coming. Amen. God is still with you. And he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll go with you even to the end. God had not changed his plan for his man, Elijah, and he has not changed his plan for you. He's got some good things ahead for you. Now, God, the time came, the water ran out, and there come a time for the move, and God's plan had been fulfilled. God said to his man, he said, I've got some place for you to go. He said, I've got a widow woman over here that don't have anything. She's going to take care of you. Yeah, she was as poor as Job's turkey. Amen. And he said, here's where you're going to find her. And you're ready to go. Okay, I'm not going to be fed by the birds anymore. I'm going to do it differently because God is ready for me to see some miracles. So he said, go over there. Here's where you go and you'll find that woman. So God didn't give him a street address. But he got over there. And he saw a woman, which the Lord let him know, this is her. She don't have anything. And he asked her, what you doing? She said, I'm picking up sticks. I'm going to build a fire. I'm going to cook the last handful of meal for me and my son. We're going to eat it and we're going to die. Now, all of this don't fit the pattern of logic. God said, I'm going to send you over here to this widow woman. She's going to take care of you. Hello? Amen. But, you know, she recognized God's man. She recognized him, and he recognized her. You know, there's something about it. There's been times when I'd met people that never met before, they'd say, something different about you. Right. Well, I don't want to make any boast. You know, I'm not near as different as I need to be, but they recognized something about me that was different than the average individual. You see, these two recognized something about each other. And there'd been a drought, so water was in scarce supply. And so Elijah said to her, give me a drink of water. So she turned and went to get some water. I don't know how much supply of water she had. I guarantee you it wasn't very big. And then he said, make me a cake. She said, I was gathering sticks. And I had a handful of meal and a little oil in the cruse. And I was going to make us a cake. Now, angel food cake. You can't make angel food cake out of meal and oil. You make cornbread. Well, it's referred to as cake, but that's what you make. And so Elijah said, make me a cake first. Now, that's all she had. Said, I was going to make this cake, and me and the son was going to eat it. We was going to die. That's all we had, and no more supply. And there's been a drought, and there's no more grain of growing. And Elijah said to her, make me a cake first. You know, sometimes our faith is tried. You know, she got the son. We got this last handful of meal. That's all we got left. We're going to eat it and die. And the prophet wants me to make him a pan of cornbread and bring it to him and let him eat it. And we have none. And Elijah said to her, and you go back to your meal barrel and you'll discover that God is the supplier of all things. And they saw the miracle of supply. They saw the miracle. So she did what she believed God wanted her to do. And she made that cornbread and she brought to the prophet. And he ate it. She might have stood there and watched him eat it. And then he said to her, go dip your hand into your meal barrel. And it'll be there. They saw the miracle of supply. God is in the supply business. There's been a few times that I, with my wife Lucille, we had run out of food. And there was one time that we were in our first pastorate. And she got a phone call. Some of the ladies was there and they was making donuts or something to try to survive, make the church survive. And she got a phone call and she said, oh, that's fine. That's good. We'll be looking forward to you. And she hung up the phone and said to them ladies, said, that was my sister calling from Wichita. They're coming down for Thanksgiving, and said, I ain't got a thing to feed them. Hello? God going to let us go hungry. We'd fast and drink water. No. You know, and so they just made it a matter of prayer. And in a day or two, there was a knock on our door. And the Pentecostal Church of God had chose us as their special family to give a Thanksgiving dinner. And they had a tub full. Amen. Of everything, you know. So we never went hungry. Another time we had a couple little evangelists preaching a revival for us. And she said to us one night after one of the services, she said, if you want some bread for breakfast, you're going to have to pray it down because we ain't got no bread. And Joe reached in his pocket and pulled out a handful of change and said, pray nothing. Said, I've got some money. Let's go buy some bread. Amen. You know, God always has a way to take care of you. Amen. But those were the only two times that I remember, except one other time. All we had for a few weeks at a time was just about potatoes. One of our boys got so tired of potatoes, he could hardly look a potato in its eye. Okay. But anyway, God took care of us and we survived it. But this lady trusted God. She thought this was the man of God. She thought this was the man of God. And so she did what he suggested. Then he said, go back and reach your hand down into the meal barrel. And she found there was meal. And look in your oil cruse, and she found there was oil. And the scripture says she fed her and the prophet and her family until the drought was over and the new grain came in. Hallelujah. God had a plan. You see, the miracle that he seen after it being sitting by the brook going nowhere, doing nothing, was the miracle of supply. God is the supplier. He will not let us down. Then there was another miracle coming. The boy died suddenly. And the mother said, what is the Lord doing to me? And the prophet said, give me the boy, or the body, however much it was. And he took him up to his upper room, laid him on his bed, laid himself on the boy's body, and prayed, God, restore him to life. And life came back to him. They saw the miracle of life. God is in charge of life giving. He's the one that gives life. The devil tries to take it all away from us, but God has come that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. Now they've seen two miracles. Two wonderful miracles, real miracles that were performed by God. But God wasn't through yet. He still had something to do for Elijah. And Elijah said to the king, he said, we're going to have a contest. We're going to find out whose God is God. Said, king, get all the people up here. We want all the people here. Get two full-grown bullocks. We will need them. Get all the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove. Earlier in that scripture, he tells us that there was 400 prophets of grove and 400 prophets of Baal. And that was 850 of Satan's people. Yeah. And so it said, we're going to have a contest. We're going to find out whose God is God. And the king did that and got them all up there. And so they built an altar. And Elijah said, you guys can go first. There's one of me and there's 850 of you. So you take your bullock, you kill him, you cut him up, you put him on the altar, you put the wood on the altar, and you put him on the altar, and then you pray to your God to send the fire. But don't put any fire under the wood. We're going to find out whose God has the fire. And they prayed. They done everything that they could. They danced around the altar. And they got so aggravated that they cut themselves and let the blood run out. Elijah said, maybe your God is on vacation. maybe he's asleep. You know, they made fun of him. And made fun of them. And their God didn't have any answer. He didn't have any fire. But I'll tell you, folks, the God that we're serving, John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. Our God has the fire. He has the fire, and he set that fire in our hearts and in our spirits. And now here, they're going to find out whose God was God and truly had the fire. Now they finally gave up and they got so mad they broke down the altar and they give up. Their God had no fire to offer. Now it was Elijah's time. What are you going to do? He said, I'm going to rebuild the altar. So he got 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel and he built a new altar. And he said, now we're going to wait till the time of the evening offering and then we're going to worship. Amen. Worship is valuable. Then we're going to worship. We're going to wait till the time of the evening offering. Then we're going to worship. And so, come the time of the evening offering. And he killed the bullock. And he put it on an offering. He put the wood there and killed the bullock and put him on the offering. He said, now give me 3 barrels of water. Now, I don't know where they got the water. They had a drought. But they got the water. And he poured it on the offering, on the altar, on the whole bit. And 3 more barrels of water. Then he drug trenches around the altar and filled them with water. Then he said, okay, bring me a minstrel. We're going to worship. You're going to like this part, Pastor. Amen. We're going to worship. Bring me a minstrel. We're going to worship. So they brought him a worship leader. Amen. And they begin to worship, sing the songs of Zion. When God's people get together, they will sing the songs of Zion. They will worship the Lord in song. Where the music and song does not belong to the world. It does not belong to the devil. It belongs to God. God designed it so people would have a way to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. But they had said, we're going to have church first. And He got the people into the focus. Amen. And worshiping the Lord. Then he stepped forward and it was time for the word. And he lifted his face to heaven and he prayed a 64 word prayer. And heaven opened up and poured out the fire. He took the offering, took the wood. I believe it even took the rocks and it licked up the water around the altar. It took care of all of it. And so then just the prophet said to the people, said, whose God is God? Well, Elijah's God is our God. He said, if that be so, don't let a one of them prophets of Baal get away. Get them all. We're going to take care of this problem now. And here's the miracle that God provided. These were caught. These were taken down by the brook where he started his time of setting by the brook. Amen. Yes, and he took a sword and he killed all of them. Well, that's cruel. The devil's plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, my plan is to give life. Amen. And to give it more abundantly. Our God is the life giver. The world's God is the killer. Amen. And the only way to get rid of it is kill it completely. Amen. So anyway, and this was the miracle. This was the other miracle that was revealed to this man. God gave this miracle. God sent the fire. God confirmed his man in the eyes of the people. And they said, Elijah's God is our God because he's got the fire. Now, if you've been feeling that you've been sitting by the brook, going nowhere, accomplishing nothing, God wants to confirm himself to you today with a new touch and a new word from him in this prayer time. God has sent me today to bring you his words of encouragement and a new touch for your life.